Welcome back to the Mike Shamari Show. Our guest today was called a young Cannonball Adderley by Jeff Lorber on this very show. His latest album is Kicking It Up, but he also is on the David Benoit-produced album 40 Years of Charlie Brown Christmas, and next year he'll have a new album released on Peak Records. Please welcome smooth jazz saxophonist Gerald Albright.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Thanks. I'm fine.
Excellent. Well, let's go back to the beginning. How did you first get into music?
Well, I started playing piano when I was 8 years old, and wasn't prepared for my weekly lessons. I had a private teacher named George Turpo, and I just wasn't interested in piano at that point in my life. And but it was something that my parents wanted me to do. And because of the lack of interest that I had in piano, the same private teacher brought a saxophone to my next lesson. He said that, you know, we're going to try something a little different today. We're not going to play the piano. We're going to play the saxophone today. And he opened the case, and there laid this nickel-plated King saxophone from probably the 50s or the 60s, and it's one that he had in his house for a number of years that he hadn't played, and he showed me how to produce a sound on it, and I've been producing a sound ever since. So I owe a lot to George Turpo. He's the one that started this whole saxophone trend here.
All right. How did your professional career begin?
It began in 1979. I had graduated from college, and it's interesting. I had worked 8 months at Woolworth's department store in Hollywood, California, just to get established, you know, and get some money going.
Mm-hmm.
And after 8 months there, Patrice Rushen called me, and she was getting ready to go on a tour and needed some horn players, and she called me up and asked me to go on tour with her, and I didn't even give 2 weeks' notice to my boss at Woolworths. I said, I have to go. You know, this is my passion. And so the professional career started from that point and snowballed to 1987, where I got my first record deal with Atlantic Records.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a great ride ever since.
It's been a great ride. It's been very rewarding. I've had the chance to make some great music and collaborate with great artists and producers and songwriters over those many years. And it's really wonderful to be at a place where you're fulfilling your passion and you're able to make a nice livelihood for myself and my family. You know, so it's mm-hmm. I'm in a very good place right now. It's a blessing.
Well, that's wonderful. We're talking with Gerald Albright here on the Mike Shamari Show on Web Radio WCWP. We're going to talk about your you have a new album coming out on your new label Peak Records coming up in a few months. But tell us about your last album, Kicking It Up.
Well, Kicking It Up was my last project for Verve Records, and it's very special to me. Came out about a year and a half ago, and off of that very CD was a tune that Jeff Lorber and I collaborated on. It happened to be the first single of that project called To the Max.
Mm-hmm.
And it was number one for almost 2 months, and actually beyond 2 months, and got a lot of airplay, and it's still 2 years later getting a lot of airplay, which mm-hmm. is a great thing. But it incorporated some great songwriters and producers like Rex Rideout and mm-hmm. Chucky Booker. I had the pleasure of producing a lot of the stuff as well. And we just had a lot of fun with it, and we had a lot of fun touring on that particular project. And now we're excited about the first project, which is entitled New Beginnings for Peak Records, which is coming out March of 2006.
All right. We look forward to that.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Well, on Peak Records, you were on the album 40 Years of Charlie Brown Christmas, the album produced by David Benoit. What was it like working with David?
Well, David and I are longtime friends, and we haven't performed a lot together, but projects together in the studio over the many years, and we belong to the same management company, and David thought that I would be a good candidate for this project, which I was very honored to be a part of it. And you know, it seems to be doing very, very well. The project has really taken off, and it's selling a lot of units, and we're very, very happy about that. So, again, I'm really honored to have worked with Dave on this. I think he's a fine producer and songwriter and keyboardist as well.
And your track, O Tannenbaum, was a great track. I played it a million times, to be honest with you, at home.
Thank you very much. It was fun to play. And the project as a whole, I think, is very well-rounded. And mm-hmm. it has some wonderful renditions of songs. And I think it's going to go far. I think it's going to be very, very successful for all involved.
Yes. Well, let's see. What albums have you been on with other artists? But you mentioned Patrice Rushen, and we mentioned David Benoit. Well, and what other albums have you been on with other artists?
Well, I've done a lot of work with Quincy Jones over the years. I was on his Back on the Block project, which was multi-platinum. I did a couple of tunes on that particular record called, well, one of the tunes is called Tomorrow, and the other is called Septembro. And also I've worked with Whitney Houston. I've done some extensive touring with Phil Collins. In fact, I just got off a two-month tour with Phil Collins.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked extensively with Anita Baker, toured with her for about 3 years, and then I've been on her solo projects in the studio. And then a host of others. It's been a nice ride. And, you know, every time I work with someone in the studio or on stage, I'm always, you know, learning something. It's always a new experience. So I always say to people that, you know, we never stop learning, even though we're professionals at mm-hmm. what we do. We never stop learning. And so I'm blessed to have, you know, these experiences to derive a lot of my experiences from.
Okay, we're talking with Gerald Albright here on the Mike Shamari Show on Web Radio WCWP. What are your fans like?
My fans are very, very supportive and have been for the many years that I've been recording and doing live shows. I'm one of those artists that does not like to be pigeonholed in a particular art form or style of music. And I've done contemporary jazz records. I've done smooth jazz records. I've done traditional jazz records. And anytime I bring out something different, my audience has swayed with me and supported me, mm-hmm. you know, through the years. And to have that as a support system is an ultimate compliment, and I think that's one of the main things that keeps me going in this business is the fact that I have such a supportive fan base, not only domestically but internationally. And so I'm in it for the long haul, and I'm attempting to bring them the best music that I possibly can bring them.
How was the Groovin' for Grover tour?
The Groovin' for Grover tour is phenomenal. It's an idea that surfaced on the table about 2 years ago, and we initially thought that we were going to do just a brief tour, but it has parlayed into, you know, shows over a two-year span, and it's still going. Actually, we're going into the new year doing some extensive touring for the Groovin' for Grover project. We're doing the Playboy Jazz Festival later on in 2006, and many others, and I'm excited about it because Grover Washington, who we are paying tribute to,
mm-hmm.
Was a dear friend and a mentor to me. I mean, not only as a musician, but as a family man, and just his character was just, you know, second to none. And I miss him wholeheartedly. And for me to be a part of this tour is wonderful because I get a chance to play his music. And we get a chance to talk about him and his legacy, and I'm one-on-one with his family, Christine, his wife, mm-hmm. and their children. We stay on top of correspondence with them all the time, and a lot of the proceeds from the tour go to Grover Washington's foundation, which is called the Protect the Dream Foundation, which funds a lot of music programs in various schools. So it's just a, you know, all-around worthwhile venture for everybody involved, and it's one of those rare moments where everybody wins, and I'm really proud to be a part of the Groovin' for Grover tour.
All right, and we look forward to seeing you as the tour continues.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. We're talking with Gerald Albright here on the Mike Shamari Show on Web Radio WCWP. We're down to our last question. What particular memory do you have from touring, and not necessarily just with Groovin' for Grover?
Well, as you ask that question, I go back to the Phil Collins tour, which I just came off of literally a couple of weeks ago. It was probably the most unique tour that I've ever done, because we went to places that I've never been before, like Beirut, like Tel Aviv, like Jerusalem, like Dubai, you know, all these countries in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
And to spread the music to those places where we've never been before, and Phil, mind you, had never been to these countries and cities either, the level of embracing that they displayed of the music and of the live show that we did there, it made everybody, including myself on stage, just very, very emotional, because, you know, here we are on the other side of the globe. You know, we don't know these people from from anybody, really.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are on stage for a 2-hour and 15-minute show, and, you know, no matter what language they had, they knew all the words in English. They were singing along to all the words, and it was one of the most heartfelt tours that I've ever been on. So if I had to pick one, that would be definitely the one that was life-changing for me.
Okay. Well, I have another question that I want to ask. What can we expect on that that new album on Peak?
Well, again, the title of the CD is called New Beginnings, and the title and the music both reflect a life change for me. I currently live in Colorado, and when I tell people that, they say, well, why are you living in Colorado? But at this point in my career and this point in my life, I decided to move somewhere where I can be a little more close to nature and you know, get to God's country a little bit more. And I thought that would affect my songwriting and my production, and it definitely did. And the CD sounds different than any other CD that I've ever done. It just has a different flavor to it. It's funky, yet it's laid back. It's melodic, yet there's a lot of improvisation with the horn. I think I'm playing more improvisationally on this particular record than I have on previous ones. And so it's a real special record for me, because I'm at a new record company. I'm in a new city here in Colorado, and
mm-hmm.
And it's just a new chapter of life for me. So I think that this record definitely reflects this time period in my life, and I hope that once the listeners embrace it and grab a hold to all 13 tunes, I hope they get the same feeling authentically that I have about the project.
Have you met Russ Freeman at all? He's, of course, the co-founder of Peak.
Yes, Russ is a dear friend of mine. We used to play gigs way back in the day with a gentleman named Buck Clark, who unfortunately is no longer with us, but he was a renowned percussionist on the West Coast, mm-hmm. mainly in the Los Angeles area, and we used to play with his band, and then Russ and I have been on different projects together over the years, and I find him to be a great businessman, a dear friend, and a wonderful guitarist. And so I'm proud to be associated with not only him, but the rest of the folks at Peak Records.
Okay, Gerald, thank you very much for this interview, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you, Mike. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Okay, this has been Gerald Albright here on the Mike Shamari Show, and we'll be right back with a song by Gerald.